me in, do me out, get me out of the crowd. In the dark, all alone, I'll go anywhere but home. Blow me up, hold me down, spit me like an atom bomb. Turn the key, hit the road, I'll go anywhere but home. Blood moon way up in the sky, blood in my nose, blood in my eye. Blood moon orange in an orange bar light, you and me, baby, in the heat of the night. Don't think I'm ever gonna calm down, there's too many bars on this side of town.
It is episode 168 of Cowboy Shit. My name is Ted Stoven, he is Dustin Edwards. And Dustin, you got a real podcast set up now. I was at the house there probably for the first time, I guess, around Easter, and got you some gear.
Yeah, I'm officially official. No longer doing this off the old iPhone. Got a microphone, headphones, 2024. Wow.
And kind of an old computer. Long. Where's your ring light, though? It looks like your ring light's off today.
Oh, you mean my better lighting? Talk to my lighting director.
Got to talk to your LD. Oh, much better. Much better. It seemed like you were in a bit of a dungeon before. Now we're rolling.
I'm full of light, full of life, and full of energy for this great pod.
Here we go. And my old computer is only making you lag a little bit. It's not that bad.
Yeah, I got the MacBook Air from 1998.
Yeah, that's actually the computer that invented the internet.
No, it's
but it
good,
still
Doug.
Works.
Good to be back. Good to be back, buddy.
Just glad to be back in Canada, buddy.
You're back in Canada, buddy.
Okay, so there's been a pretty good amount of stuff the last couple of weeks. So really excited about this show, but we had a Roughnecks game April 5th. It was a Friday night, and I've got a bit of a bone to pick with you here, Dustin.
Uh-oh.
So I was at the game. Storm and I went down, and, you know, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but I got to ask, our seats were like up in the two, you know, like 210, maybe like up in the 300s, like pretty, you know, pretty high up. Like, I know they're free. I know they're free. Like, I know they can be nosebleeders. Like I appreciate that. But question, because a friend of the show, guest of the show, former co-host, fucking Keenan Vine gets tickets to the game, also given to him by Dustin Edwards, and he's fucking row 5 in the bottom. What the hell, man?
All right, Ted, we have a lot to discuss on this pod.
I got a lot of problems with a lot of people.
I promised Keenan tickets for Christmas, like back in December.
That was a Christmas gift.
Well, I think he was giving it as a Christmas gift.
Okay.
And that never happened till that game in April.
Okay.
So, he was bringing his father-in-law and brother-in-law, I think. So
yeah,
I made sure they had good seats, Ted. I apologize that you were in the bleeders. But you know what? The nice thing is, there's a ticket into the barn.
I know. I thought it was funny and I had to give you a hard time.
Don't worry, next time you're going to be up in the Sport Check Kid Zone, 800 feet above the ice surface.
With all the loudest, shittiest kids in the building.
Just 100%.
The ones that all take their shirts off and whip them around like crazy hooligans.
But then we went, did we go to the Battle of Alberta after that?
Yeah, I took you to the game the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. So night. Thank you. Thank you for taking me and giving me a great seat. Much appreciated. We enjoyed a Battle of Alberta and it was pretty much mostly Oilers fans in there that night.
Oh, that was crazy. And the Oilers won, didn't they? Like 4-1 or what was it?
Yeah. Yeah. The Oilers won.
It was a good game though. It was a good game.
That was a really good game. It's too bad. Yeah. So right now the Saddle Dome is facing the first time ever no teams having a playoff game in Calgary.
Not even the Wranglers? I thought the Wranglers made the playoffs.
The Wranglers clinched, but they play the whole first round at home ice advantage. Yeah. So they'll potentially play the whole first series, and if they lose, there'd be no playoff action in the old dome.
Oh, wow. For the first time ever?
Yeah. Because it's usually at least the Hitmen or the Roughnecks or the Flames get in, but not in 2024. It's looking rough.
Jeez. Huh. I'm sorry about that. What about the Roughnecks? Did you guys, are you guys going to make it or are you guys going to miss it
too? We're out. We officially got eliminated yesterday by Texas winning.
No, the Panther
Yeah,
City people.
so August or August, April 20th will be the final game.
No way.
If you're tuning in, come check it out. It's our Roughnecks Rodeo night.
Yeah.
Well, I got some mechanical bull ride on the concourse, some roping. We
And
got some
you had a pretty cool promo the other day with I don't know where that was. I didn't get to watch the whole thing yet.
It's
But you had,
Cowboy Coles.
oh, is that Cole's place?
Yeah, we went. We sent the wranglers. I
Oh,
couldn't
that's
go.
fun.
I was doing Aggie Days rodeo,
Oh, yeah.
and we sent out one of our star players from the Roughnecks. Went out, and our host Liv and another one of our staff went out, and Cole taught him how to rope, how to saddle a horse, threw some hay bales in the Roughnecks truck, and got some really cool and fun content for the rodeo game. So,
All
shout out to
right.
Cowboy Cole,
Hooked the brother up.
who's also going to be at the game on Saturday night.
Oh,
Pay
yeah?
attention in the opening. You may see him.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, dang. Is he going to rope some shit in the arena?
He might be. He may
Really?
rope himself, but he's
Maybe doing
gonna
some rope tricks?
you need some rope tricks out of that derrick. So
Oh, I like that.
that'll be fun. So yeah, looking forward to that. And yeah, what else we got going on? Yeah, Paul's bringing the rope horses and dummies from Barney's out for that night. The ones we did the photo shoot with.
Oh, yeah.
So we got that going on. Mechanical bull riding competition. Jeff from Lamley's hooked us up with some gift cards for that, for
Right
the
on.
high scores. So that's gonna be a fun one.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. I like it.
What
Sorry, I can't
else?
be there. I gotta go to
Yeah,
Dawson Creek, man. My first
Ted's
rodeo of the
actually
year.
rodeoing. Yeah, you're rodeoing. We're
First rodeo of the
back.
year. And I gotta go back to the ticket thing. I'm so
Okay.
I wasn't trying to crap on your tickets. I when you when I when we went to sit, because we went and sat with Keenan for most of the game, because luckily there are seats by him that were open too.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the tickets, Dustin, and I appreciate you having us at the game. I'm pumped that I got my own Roughnecks hat now. Might wear it this weekend in Dawson. Take it up there with me.
Attaboy.
There's probably a lot of Roughnecks in Dawson Creek too,
Oh yeah,
Grand
the real
Prairie area,
ones. The real
the real
ones.
ones. So,
Yeah.
but I appreciate it. Thanks for having us. We
Hey,
enjoyed it.
it was great.
And the next game, like you said, that was a lot of fun too to do the Battle of Alberta. Awesome. Yeah.
Then
It's
where
good
else
that
were we last week? We
the
did
dinner,
tarp auction
yeah,
last week.
canvas auction, Calgary Stampede. What'd it go for? $3.15 million. So
Yeah, so
pretty
is the
huge.
not the highest total because less wagons, but the highest average of all
Per
time.
wagon. Yeah. Hundred and
Yeah, pretty
fifteen
cool.
thousand a wagon, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was big money. Like the high seller was, I think, 210,000.
Yep,
It
Chris
was Chris
Molly.
Moley. And even the at the end, the part that surprised me was three rookie drivers.
All did really good.
Yeah, like 100,000.
Yeah, really good.
Sutherland went for 120 or 130,000, like, or maybe more, 160. Like,
I think it was 160. It was huge.
it was funny in conversation afterwards, and a lot of people always seem to judge the economy. That's like an Alberta thing or a Calgary thing.
Yeah.
It's like, what state is the economy in when the tarp auction, you know, how much money it raises. And it was funny talking to some folks from Stampede about how much money was left in that room. They said there were so many people who were here to come bid and spend their money that always buy a tarp. And because the prices were so high and it was so competitive, didn't get in on the action. So there's a lot of
Really?
money still left in there. So yeah, just really interesting to see a lot of new wagons. You know,
Yeah.
like it wasn't a bunch of, you know, big oil companies coming in and cashing checks, you know, like Pedal Pub bought a wagon
Yeah.
and I seen there was a vodka company bought a wagon, and just yeah, it was really interesting to see the variety of buyers that were doing it.
Well, and a friend of mine told me today, actually, Bill Holowaczek from Stormfront Promotions. So Bill and I were talking, and apparently he was telling me that the owners of Spray Lake Sawmills, or maybe former owners, or I forget what it was, but they bought Lane McGillivray, and they don't really have, like, it's like a ranch now. Like, they don't really have like an official like business that they're supporting. They're doing it out of like fun to just have a chuck wagon at the Calgary Stampede.
Well, they won with him as Spray Lake Sawmills.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, bottom it was some ranch. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And yeah, and it said they're back for another year. So that's when you're playing with your own money.
That's
You
true,
know,
right?
you're not even putting your company on it. So that's a really cool support. And I remember when Chris Molly was up on stage with the high bidder to get the buckle, And I think the company was called Graf Mechanical. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're just a small little family-owned company out in northeastern Alberta. And I'm thinking, man, you know, so some of these guys do it for the pride of being part of it and the
Yeah.
relationships they have. So as much as it's a big advertising and, you know, you get to play in that ring for 10 days, there's also a lot of like just people with really good connections and good people in their corner that step up. So it's pretty
Yeah,
cool.
pretty
It was my
awesome.
first time being part of it. I thought it was a really cool night and a lot of fun.
I used to be part of it, but not
Now you're a
anymore.
spectator.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got the heck out of there. We had a really nice dinner after. Went out with Jim Nevada, former chuck wagon driver, and Rod Tomlin, actually Tom Coe, and then Jeff Chadwick as well with Wrangler. So Storm and I had a really nice dinner with that whole crew, and Devin as well from the Roper crew, now with Jim. And yeah, we had an awesome dinner downtown at Vintage. Heck of
Oh
a
yeah,
spot.
does
So
Tomko still get in on the tarps? Didn't they used to be on a
they did
tarp
for
at
a
one time?
while, and
Yeah,
actually we talked about that and
I think they
how it
were
went
Three
really
Crotto,
good.
weren't they, at some point?
They were, yeah. It was Crotto, or it was sorry, it was Tomco, Neighbors, and Ranchmans. It was like a three-way kind of deal
Oh
that
yeah.
they had with those three companies. So he said that was a great setup that they had at the time, and but yeah, just not involved on it anymore on that front, but still a sponsor. Rod sponsoring Cole Ashbacker actually at
Yeah,
the
that's where we'll see
NFR.
him.
Yeah, in the last couple of years did that with Cole, and then sponsored a few different people over the years. Brett Gardner obviously too,
Yep.
sponsored Brett for a long time now. So yeah, anyways, it was a fun night. Always good to see that and kind of get like, I know Allie was busy last week between Aggie Days and that, and you were busy between Aggie Days and the auction, and our buddy Sean Morton was down as well. But it's fun to have all that stuff happening, and you know, it's nice to see the calendar in April and it's totally full.
Yeah,
There's like
exactly.
there's stuff happening again, right? Like it's I like that part of the year.
Yeah, it's busy. The weather was nice here. It looks like the storm's supposed to roll in tonight. We're supposed to get some snow,
Yeah, and a bunch of
but
rain too, right? Rain and then snow overnight.
and I'm sure the farmers are praying for it. I've seen fire bans going up
Oh
all
boy.
over central Alberta the last couple of days. So some big grass fires in northern Alberta already. So
Oh geez.
we're already back praying for rain again.
I appreciate the days are longer though. I do like
Yeah.
that part. But
Yeah.
hopefully we got lots of rain this year. Hopefully I'll get lots of good crops and keeps the fires down. But not much we can control on that side of things either.
No,
So we'll
no.
see. But
But
man, I was gonna say I'm excited about the show. So we
that's
recorded
exactly what
this.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. So we
Mention
had
for it.
we had Nolene Hoffman at the house. What was it? Probably a month ago now. Hey, was
Yeah.
it late March? It would have been maybe like I don't know. It was sometime quite a while ago now. Anyways, so we've been sitting on this one for quite a while, but really excited to get it out and you know let everybody listen to it. Once again, it's Nolene Hoffman. Nolene's gonna be opening for Charlie Crockett on his Canadian Swing of the $10 Cowboy Tour, and yeah, this was a lot of fun to do this show.
And that's all we got to say about that.
Yeah, so here we are. We're gonna get to the interview with Nolene Hoffman right after the break. Thanks.
I'd be glad to tell you the story about a solitary road. You can't take nobody with you, and you ain't coming back if you go. It's a highway teeming with blackjack. On every corner, young Jezebel. Well, they say it can lead to salvation, but you won't be able to tell, 'cause it's a solitary road.
Okay, we are in the living room studios, proudly presented by our friends at we're not sponsored by Tim Hortons, but
We're drinking Tim
we're
Hortons.
drinking Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
We had a Sando, had some breakfast and some coffees, but got a very special guest here today. She was recently featured on episode 7 of the Belching Bronco with Zach Bryan. Kind of a big deal. She's from
Sorry, go ahead, Dustin.
Bow Island.
Yeah, from Bow Island, Alberta. She's a proud Albertan.
Where there's no island.
Yeah, there's actually no island, and it was mistakenly named, we just found out. But she's a singer-songwriter, proudly right here in Alberta. She's opening for Charlie Crockett this spring on his Western Canadian tour. There's seven stops as part of the tour. Going to go right from BC all the way to Montreal, you said.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so please welcome to the Cowboy Ship Podcast, Nolene Hoffman.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing this today.
We'll put in some crowd applause.
Yeah.
After
put
the fact.
Put a song in there.
Yeah.
Okay, but where should we start here? Like, there's so many different ways we can go.
Well, I think we should find out a little about who you are. It might be some listeners out there that maybe don't recognize the name or will once we tell the story a little bit. But maybe kind of tell your story and how you kind of got to where you are as a singer-songwriter. Give us a little backstory in a...
You don't have to go back all the way to the womb, but like.
Yeah, I grew up in Bow Island, small town, 1,500 people. And after high school, it was COVID for half of my high school experience. So,
oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so I was pretty burnt out of school. So I didn't go to school after I graduated and just went to work. I was bartending for a while. And then.
Where at?
I was bartending at the local diner, Bobby's. Shout out to Bobby's Bar and Grill.
Oh, really?
In home of the dollar fries.
Oh,
I
really?
I highly can't recommend it enough. All yeah.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Really? Cool. I thought you were going to say from Bow Island, like, how far is it to Medicine Hat? I thought you're going to be like somebody at Ralph's.
Oh, man, no, I'm not that. I'm a highball bartender.
Yeah. That was going to town, though, right?
I can pour a rye and Coke. That's what. Yeah.
Well, that's mean fun. One.
Yeah.
So grow up there. Like, when does the music kick into your life? When does it even start?
Yeah. I was, I started going to open mics and stuff in high school and played some little farmers markets gigs and whatnot.
But where do you get when do you get the guitar? Like, when does music start for you?
I took music lessons,
growing
up. And then, probably when I was about 13 or 14, I picked up the guitar, and I was always a big creative writing nerd, growing up. So then when I picked up the guitar, I started writing songs for fun. And then when I could convince my parents to take me into the city, we'd go to open mics. And yeah, and then
Calgary or Medicine Hat or Lethbridge
in Medicine Hat mostly. Yeah.
So what are the venues then?
It was just little cafes. It was a place called Cafe Verve, and then really? Also the Medicine Hat Folk Fest used to have a singer songwriter night that was the whole night. You could just any old person, like little old me, could go on there and
when you're like
perform.
14, 15?
Yeah, it was probably 13 or 14 the first time I did one of those Folkfest ones. But
the craft. So you said you were a creative writing nerd.
Yeah.
So is that like, did you write like poetry or like
I would write stories? Like
slam poetry
short
mostly.
Yeah, slam poetry. Beatboxing. Yeah, no beatboxing. Oh. But yeah, I would write like crazy wild fiction stories when I was a kid, and then got into poetry, and I would go to writing camp because I was
really?
I was a nerd, yeah.
Which
I am a nerd.
Did you used to have glasses?
No. No. Oh,
really?
No.
So the creative poetry, I guess, essentially becomes songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creative slam poetry.
Creative slam. Yeah.
Wild fiction becomes song.
Wild fiction, yeah.
Cool.
That's neat.
Yeah.
So did people around you, like when you were in school, like did they know that you were a musician? Like, was it something that you were public about, or did you kind of keep it to yourself and not really showcase yourself around like school and stuff?
A little bit. Like I was kind of sort of would begrudgingly do some stuff through the school. There was like a little band program once and stuff, like not like a marching band, like a normal band. And so we did a little bit of that. Like it was kind of a little bit known, but I kept it on the DL a little bit.
I had a band class too. When I was in grade 12, our high school had Rock 101.
Oh,
really?
My gosh.
No shit.
Yeah. And so I took that, and throughout the semester, we made a music video. We had to write a song.
Is that where Six Finger Fritz came from?
No. Well, actually, two of the band members were in that class.
With you?
Yeah. And we
Eddie's
had
got
a music
band.
Video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're horrible.
That's awesome. What's the band?
So I'm assuming
it's
that's
Six Finger
band?
Fritz.
Six Finger
yeah,
Fritz.
Shout out.
Fuck yeah.
They're down to five fingers since I moved to Calgary. So.
No.
Wasn't Gator
So I'm
in the
looking.
Band?
I'm available.
Was Gator
Gator
in the
was
band?
In the band, yeah.
Did you play the cowbell?
He
what did...
Poorly.
Poorly.
Yeah, friend of the
what
show.
What did you play?
I played guitar.
Nice.
Not well.
Backup vocals or lead vocals?
No, way back up.
Way back
up. Like back up far enough that they didn't hear me. But that was the rock star class. So yeah, it wasn't band. It was like play guitar. We played, I mean, the first song we did was, I just drew a blank, Joan Jett, I think, was like the first
song. I love rock and roll. The
group had to learn.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That's baller. Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's what you meant by.
Yes. Like yeah. 100%.
We're playing the trumpet.
No.
Yeah.
No horns.
So shout out to Bow Island Rock Class.
Yeah.
Look what it did.
Yeah.
You'll be the poster child for that class. Everybody signing up to take it.
That's awesome.
Easy 3 credits.
Yeah. There you go. But
so,
yeah.
So then open mics and doing some shows. And
yeah. And then for a couple of years, like I barely through COVID days, like I wasn't playing, was working a lot. So didn't really pick up my guitar and, you know, wasn't performing anywhere. And then I moved out to Manitoba to work on the ranch. And then when I moved back from that job, I was a bit of a lost ship trying to figure out what I was going to do next. But music was always, you know, I always knew that's what I wanted to do, but it just took me a while to admit to myself and be public with it. It's like, you know, coming from a small town, it's a pretty radical mindset to go, like, you know, for people. So anyway, then I started doing it all over again, made it my mission to go to as many shows and open mics all around Alberta and meet everybody that I could. And yeah, then from there started opening shows, and then it just got to a point where I was like, okay, either I'm all the way in, I'm gonna give it a all the way in shot or not. So then I jumped in with both feet. So.
And so what about the going back a little bit or sideways, but like, where does the ranching in the western side come from? We were talking before and your family had a ranch, but then farming previously, yeah. but like, where does that come from? Cause you're actually, you know, there's a lot of people in the business that aren't as authentic. Like I grew up riding a little bit, but like, I feel weird calling myself a cowboy sometimes when I live in town now.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's a bit different, but where does that come from for you? Cause you're obviously authentic. Like I haven't seen many chicks with rattlesnake earrings. Your freaking
oh yeah. Those right? are cool. Like,
thank you.
Right. But like authentic, you're authentic.
And so she killed the rattlesnake too, by the way.
Yeah. With
the
bare
people
hands.
Don't know at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They believe what we say on here. So
yeah.
Yeah. You should have seen. Yeah. Should have seen it.
Keenan and I cut one off of a dead one on the highway one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the way to Pollockville.
Did you make an earring out of
it?
No,
there was like half a dead snake in my friggin' truck. Smelly. So anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead. Shit. What was the
authenticity of the Western
side
of things?
Yeah. I have, a good share of imposter syndrome myself. You know, I think, you know, I have trouble calling myself a cowboy at all too, but I didn't grow up. I grew up most of my life in town. When I was a small kid, we were still on the farm and then moved to town. My parents run a spray plane business. So I grew up like mixing chemical for my dad and working out there, and then eventually got really interested in the grasslands and in cattle, and started working on a ranch during the calving season, and then just really got really passionate about learning everything that I could, and then took the other job. But so I didn't grow up on a farm, which sometimes I feel like, you know, like I'm letting people down to say it, but it was just a passion.
But you went and lived
passion.
It, right?
Yeah.
Like you went and totally lived it. And you said when you went out to Manitoba, you were out ranching out there.
Yeah.
Right? So
totally
lived it.
Yeah.
Okay, the spray planes are super cool, by the way. I love driving down
right?
the road when one just like buzzes over you, like 12 feet above your roof. Yeah. That's super cool.
Born to be
way.
Wild. Yeah.
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 Do you fly in those at all or?
No.
Never?
No.
You don't even go along?
It's pretty, it's like hard to fit one dude in there. I was like, yeah, it's pretty tight.
Dang.
But yeah, my dad does have a little passenger plane that I'll go up in, but not the spray planes. Yeah.
Does he still fly?
Yep. My dad flies and he does all of his own maintenance too. So he's a busy guy all
that's
year.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I digress.
Don't. No.
Love
I like
talking
to fly
about spray
too.
Planes. Yeah.
We talked about lots of flying on the last show. Got a little aggressive. Okay. So now we're Was the Manitoba job just last summer, or was that 2 summers ago?
It was in 2022 that I was out there. So
two years ago now, essentially, yeah.
Yeah, man, almost it's two. Crazy. Like, yeah. It doesn't feel like that long ago, but...
What was last summer like then? What'd you do?
Last summer, I was hitting the music hard. Yeah. I was playing just as many shows as possible, and in May, I went out to drove down to Kentucky and Tennessee, and then after that, then it was just, yeah, right after I got home, it was pretty much stampede, and was gigging full on. So
right on.
Yeah.
So you can make a living at this now.
Yeah. Doing my best. Yeah.
But it's kind
of
like,
maybe like 3/4 of a living, but it's what I do full time. Yeah.
I think I know what you mean, because when we were rodeoing back in the day, we're living pretty, pretty lean. Right?
Yeah.
Like we're sharing hotel rooms with everybody and we're.
There's a reason they say the word struggling musician. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, we do, but we struggle to make money.
I definitely, it's been a scrappy year. Like, when I started, I did a lot of sleeping in my jeans, sleeping in my car, not sleeping at all.
Did you go down there by yourself to the Kentucky and Tennessee trip?
Yeah. It's really? A bit
by
of a
yourself?
Crazy story.
Oh my gosh. That's dodgy.
Yeah, it totally was. I was, I can't believe that I survived.
You're like 21, right? Like you're.
I was 19 when
Holy
I drove
shit.
Down there.
So you just jumped in your vehicle, grabbed a guitar, and away you went.
Is it that thing, that blue thing out there?
I went. Yeah, that's Corny, my Ford Escape.
Corny.
Corny. So that's what the guys, the Mennonite fellow's name was that I bought it from.
Really?
So that's the
redhead
that's
fellow. His name.
No,
Corny.
No, Mennonite.
Oh, Mennonite. Oh,
yeah.
Corny.
So Alberta.
Shout out to Corny for
the bet. Oh man, this thing's.
Southern
Alberta. I've had Mennonite? That since that yoke since I was 16.
So that thing's been to Kentucky and
back.
Load up your
All
dreams.
Didn't
guitar.
Even die.
Yeah, didn't even die. Oh, surprisingly.
Oh,
so how
yeah.
was that trip? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's tell cool. us the story. Yeah. You said you had a crazy story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had sent in a song to this little festival at a contest. It was like a take the stage contest that if you won, you could have like an opening spot at their festival. And I kind of sent it in. It's like not a big festival by any means or a big deal. Sent it in. And then I eventually got an email that was like, oh, congratulations, you're in the top five. And it was like, it was a date. It was like 2 weeks later, you had to go down and do like the showdown to see which of the top five would go. And I was like, oh shit. Like, do I go down? Or do I not? Like, I had stuff going on here, and then eventually I was just in a place where I was feeling, reckless enough. I was heartbroken.
Heartbreak.
I was
fuels.
Like, I need to drive far, far away. So and
oh,
come
dear.
Back in an undetermined.
Most people would say
date.
Far, far away is like Saskatoon.
I needed to drive to Kentucky.
Edmonton.
About it.
Jeez, go by yourself.
So we've got
no,
a heartbroken 19-year-old musician in Corny,
going.
The Ford Escape with a guitar heading to Kentucky.
Yeah. Didn't know a soul down there, but luckily the director of the festival, I reached out to her before and told her that I was coming from Canada and driving for Alberta, because the reason I didn't fly was because I can't rent a car in the States. Yeah, I'm
you
not,
can rent
not old
though.
Enough, so.
So you know.
Oh yeah, is that
yeah,
right?
You can fly and rent a U-Haul, yeah, actually.
That's great, I guess.
Next time
would I have to,
down.
Like, yeah. Would I have to carry, like, walk the U-Haul around or like a driving U-Haul.
You can
like
drive
a
U-Haul across
yeah.
the border too.
Yeah, like you what? Can go yeah. like rent a U-Haul under 25, yeah.
Yeah.
Dang, that's
yeah. just so
such
you know.
A good life hack.
Rodeo life hack, yeah.
yeah.
That's awesome.
Just like because you're probably still not 25.
I'm definitely saving that tidbit.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Future, yeah, thank you. Thank you. The more you know. Holy.
We can make some rodeo.
This is Cowboy Shit managed. Educational Series 101. Renting
yeah.
a U-Haul.
U-Haul.
Yeah.
That's great. I can't believe this is the first time I'm... hearing about that,
man. Rodeo but, folks know some stuff.
Yeah, welcome. thank you
yeah.
you yeah.
Anyway, so you load up
so
and
yeah,
head
up,
for Kentucky.
Asked the lady had a apartment above her house, so they were kind enough to let me stay there as a home base, and then so I kind of had a safe home base, and then I went traveling all around and would come back and forth, and it was, you know, a lot more could have gone wrong than went right, but everything magically, like it was the most amazing experience and best thing wow. I've ever done. So
okay, what did go wrong though? Anything?
oh man, the only
You heard what the Foxworthy girls told last week, so you can tell any kind of story.
I know I'm gonna think of something afterwards and be like, oh man, that's
how was
really
the festival itself.
Yeah, how'd it go? Did you win?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't win, but that's
did they record
totally
some of
fine.
Those videos there though? Is that one of those places, or was that a different thing?
Yeah, I had just reached out. It was not through the festival, but when I drove down there, because I only had, 2 weeks to kind of decide I was going down there, and I just reached out to somehow found out about this video guy, and he said yes, and then that's just how the whole thing was. Just like, I was just had no plans. I was just flying by the seat of my pants. Yeah, it was really fun.
Dang.
That's cool.
And then did you go to like Nashville and like see like Knoxville and meet some folks down there or what?
Yeah, I went to Nashville. I was in Nashville for about 6 days, and
Did you play it all there?
No, I didn't. Okay.
Next time? Have you since or no?
No, not yet. I haven't been down to Nashville since, but definitely itching to get back down there.
Did you go hit all the big spots where live music was?
Yeah, the spots that would let me in on Broadway. It's hard to get in underage, once I started to find the East Nashville scene and the post 82 crowd and everything like that, I started to find out where I could get away with it. So
That's cool.
Yeah. Had my fair share of beers, so it was good.
Underage drinking is the best.
Right.
Jeez. Yeah, so where did you camp out there? Did you have some friends you were with or something, or people you'd met down there? Or were you still on your own? Is that when you're camping out in Corny over there? Or what
I was, yeah. Corny and I drove down to Nashville, and I splurged on a hotel in Nashville, like right 6? Downtown. Yeah.
Oh, no, a nice one.
Downtown. I stayed in some greasy motels before, but this time in Nashville, I didn't want anything.
You're nervous because you're by yourself.
Yeah, I was nervous. I was nervous. So I was like, I stayed in a pretty nice place. And, but that was like my main expense. Like I did everything else pretty scrappy. So
did Kentucky and the Nashville trip and going south, that kind of further light a fire underneath you once you got back? I'm assuming it would. Yeah.
Yeah, it really did. Like I met some really amazing, some bands that I love. You know,
like
met,
who? Anybody that we'd know
I
yet?
Met,
like
Mike and the Moon Pies. Yeah. And that was a great, that was an awesome show. So good. They played at Third and Lindsley, and I met, there's a festival I went to called Laurel Cove, and it's a really, it's a really small festival, but great acts and great artists. And I met 49 Winchester and the Red Clay Strays and all these, all the bands I listened to and love. So it was amazing.
Well, and then 49 Winchester is open for Corb on this
LVAO
tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm running on 3 hours of sleep.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, no, it's good.
You went out and enjoyed the show last night, we're assuming.
Did you go to the Chino after, the Nino after?
Yeah, we did. I didn't, come out. Yeah, I didn't, yeah.
That's funny.
Didn't come up with any big ones.
Funny story, though. You got to tell us about meeting, running into Nicole Perkins from Fox Radio.
Oh yeah,
we're calling you out,
I had recently.
Nicole.
Yeah, sorry,
yeah,
Nicole.
That's okay, Nicole. If you listen to this, I was the girl that waved at you very enthusiastically, but because I had just watched that podcast, listened to the clips of the whole episode and everything, and thought it was awesome and funny, and so when I saw Nicole, I just like reflex gave her the biggest happy wave, and she like her face, she was just calculating, trying to figure out like who the fuck is this. And I walked away, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so embarrassing. But it's okay,
that's funny.
It's in the grand scheme of things. Yeah,
all right,
be all right.
Okay, now we want to talk about what it's like to be viral.
Oh yeah.
Because I was
on the internet.
I said this to Ted the other day. I said, man, she's viral. Like, which is like a term 10 years ago, or maybe 15 years ago, since the guy that did Charlie bit my finger.
Oh, yeah. He's an adult now.
Yeah, that guy's like 30 years old now, but that's kind of like when the first person ever became viral, I think.
That's like one of the first YouTube videos I ever saw, right? Outside of those Dumbledore puppet videos, or like those Harry Potter puppets or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Dumbledore.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So now you're that. You are this modern day version of Charlie Bit My Finger and Dumbledore. So let's talk about the viral thing, because once Ted said you were coming on, that was obviously the first thing that I knew about you, and kind of a cool story. So why don't you take us back to the TikTok and maybe start with what you used to think of TikTok, but now it's turned out to be a blessing.
Yes, yeah, definitely. It's really funny how that ended up happening. Like I had probably 300 followers on TikTok, no followers at that point, and I was a little bit like I would begrudgingly post on TikTok. Like I was like, oh, you know, I just, social media in general has never been my my strong suit. I've never had much of a strategy, and I've kind of been like,
and you do it all yourself,
just like
obviously.
A little like salt. Yeah, I'm just like, you know, begrudgingly do it. But anyway, so I just wrote that song, you know, the day before or whatever, and just was like, oh, you know, I had this clip of the tune, and I was like, well, I might as well, trying to post more regularly on my TikTok, might as well throw it up there, and went to bed, and I woke up in the morning, I was like, oh, you know, this is funny, like it's kind of picking up. I just never,
how many did it
I
have
never
in the morning?
Thought like, oh, I, you know, maybe like not like 10,000 views or something, yeah, but up until that point
one.
Like, yeah, I was like, oh, you know, up until cool. I was like, yeah, usually get like 700 or something.
You're like, this is cool.
So I was
right?
like, oh, that's cool. And then it just kind of,
you're not
like,
viral yet, but you're getting close. So can,
yeah,
another morning you
and
wake
then,
up.
And then, so yeah. Then where does it go during, like, is it during that day or is it a couple days or what? What's the process yeah. here to go viral?
So somebody, what happened? So on TikTok, it organically was popping off for whatever reason. And then somebody from that had seen it on TikTok DM'd me on Instagram and was like, hey, would you consider posting this as a reel? On Instagram, I'd love to post it to my story, like blah blah. And I was like, oh, you know, like maybe I'm thinking about getting. I had some leads for video with somebody called Ranch Jams, and so I was like, oh, I want to get this video nice for Instagram. And then I ended up posting the reel. And after I posted the reel, he was like, oh, I think my buddy Zach's really gonna like this. And I was
but,
like,
but at this point, do you know that it's the Zach that
no,
it turns
I
out
had,
being?
I had no idea.
Which, hold on, folks. We'll tell you who, which
like,
Zach that
I
is.
I noticed, I saw that Zach followed this dude, but I just didn't really, like, I was kind of like, haha, like, okay. You know, like, you know, I didn't really clue in. Like, I was kind of like.
So who is this guy anyways?
Oh, it's a fella know? Named Tanner, and he's a photographer down in Montana. I've never yeah. met him yet, but
he's
shout
kind
out
of,
Tanner.
He's kind of the reason
he's the
this...
root.
Yeah, and the song's yeah. Purple Gas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. We got to make sure we say the song so people are...
Yeah.
Is Purple Gas exclusive to Alberta and Western Canada? Is that a thing?
You know, I think it's in for sure Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, but yeah. I'm not sure how much farther... Maybe it's all of Canada. I'm not...
I don't even know that.
I should really
That's
know that.
Yeah, I don't know
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do they have... Like, I don't know if they have dyed fuel in the U.S. too much, or do they?
They
or?
Have Pink Diesel. But it's different. Oh. They can't take it on public roads down there. I've yeah. learned a lot about purple gas
I
and
bet.
Pink diesel
yeah.
in the past because purple gas isn't a thing in the U.S. So that was another surprising thing
when
to
I
me. Like
when I worked in the oil field, the county Mounties would cruise around on the back roads and they'd pull you over.
Yeah,
on
purple
the back
Pete's.
Roads, and they'd come dip your tank to see if we yeah. were running purple in our trucks.
Yeah.
If we didn't have farm plates
in your Ember truck.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Really?
They'd check
yeah.
you. Okay,
yeah.
so purple
What'd
gas.
You call it purple what?
There's a apparently. Back in the day, that was exclusively a job. Was they were nicknamed Purple Pete's, and they would go around and dip everybody's tank.
That's a cool story. I did not know
apparently
that.
I didn't yeah. live to see the day, but I've heard.
Okay, so Tanner, photographer Montana, says make this song a reel.
Yeah,
my buddy Zach. I think my buddy Zach will like it.
But no, that was after I didn't okay. know Zach was involved at all until
and we still haven't revealed which Zach yet.
Yeah, it was TBD. Like not until after I posted the reel. He's like, oh, I think my buddy Zach. After I posted it, is going to like this. And then the next morning, I was just, you know, sitting around. It was Thanksgiving weekend, and I got a
Canadian
notification. Someone, yeah, Canadian
People.
Thanksgiving. Everybody.
October.
So this is October of
October.
20...
October of 20, this year. This year.
2023.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So I woke up in the morning, and someone, was, I got a notification. Zach Bryan mentioned you in his story. I was like, what? Go on. And like, in that moment, like, that was the moment of just, like, It was definitely the moment of like everything's gonna change. Like it was
that's so cool.
Was,
holy shit!
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that one moment, right?
Yeah, I just like I was just shaking because I think that I was just that's insane. Like how that's it's crazy. I can't
Am
imagine
I being punked?
That it. Yeah,
like,
it was surreal.
Like Zach Bryan with two
my
ends?
Friends. Like people started texting me and they're like, "Oh my god, I thought this was a glitch." Like I was like, "Me too." I've been waiting to wake up from this for months. So
it's so cool because I said to Ted before, I said, oh, I really want to ask you like where you were, like what the moment was when that happens, right? Like
I was having
sports,
a breakfast
first...
beers at Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah. That's
your family?
Having it up. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So then it gets posted mm-hmm. or he shares it on his story.
Yeah.
So then what's the traction like in the next 24 hours?
And how long before that had you done this? Like, how long till he found it? Was it a couple days or that day or same day?
Yeah,
or?
it was a couple days, like maybe 4 days or something. Oh, really? Like very, very quickly.
So
after
the morning that he would have shared this story,
mm-hmm.
how many views would you have had prior to his share on like TikTok and Instagram?
Oh my gosh, I don't remember. I probably have like screenshots of it, but you know, maybe like 50,000 on TikTok, and then TikTok continued to like do its own thing, and then Instagram went crazy. But it's all you know, owed to Zach's audience. It's no Instagram magic that on my part. You know?
So yeah. In the next 24 hours, where did it rise to from there?
And where did you start with your people? Like, you've got like 40,000 people on Instagram now, but like, what were you at before?
You know, less than 2,000. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, how many views in the 24 hours after you shared it? I'm really curious.
Gosh, I would have to check. Yeah, right now it's.
Yeah, we got the time. Let's check. You got the screenshots. We know it.
Let's look it up here quick.
That's
Let's see. I'm curious.
And number, like, really, because in the social media game and like in these kind of scenarios, like really the views are everything, right? Like.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so funny. Like in 2 weeks. Before the house, I was sitting with my friend. We were talking about Oliver Anthony, and I was like, "Man, you know, I really hope that never." And I mean, it did not happen nearly to the scale that it did for Oliver Anthony. But I was like, "I hope I never go viral." That sounds like the most stressful thing I've ever heard. Like I was like praying that it would never not. I mean, I'm very, very thankful, and I just never could have imagined, you know, how this.
All right, so folks that are listening, we're deep into the dive of views and the viral sensation.
Dang, Boots and the Hoots.
Hey, shout out
Drum Heller.
shout out Drum Heller Boots. Boots Graham, friend of the show.
Shout out Boots. A Canadian treasure. Friend of mine.
I was in Drum Heller, so we got to know Boots pretty good. Yeah.
That's great. I love Drum Heller. I would like to live in Wayne, I've decided, but there's no real estate ever come up there.
No, there's like six houses.
I'm going to have to pull a trailer out there.
You have to go play at the Wayne Stock. My band played there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Six Finger Fritzes?
We played at the Wayne Stock.
God.
Yeah.
You guys should play this. Yeah. Play this year.
You could have our spot on the stage. No. You need it.
Today it's got 2.1 million.
Yeah. Looks like October 12th. I guess it was posted October 8th, and October 12th it had 71,000. So I don't know. That's like 4 days afterwards, and then it just continued.
And it went crazy.
Go, but
now is this something like does Zach Bryan normally share other artists, like, or was that like a kind of a holy? Is cool.
I'm really not sure. Like I think since I've seen Zach post quite a few videos. Like Zach is a big. He's just a huge music fan and you know, he uses his platform to champion, you know, good music that he likes and believes in. So I think that it's pretty, you know, it's not the most unusual thing for him to hear something and post it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Dang.
So what happened after that Thanksgiving weekend then? What was like the next, what was the next
You went down for that recording, like right after that. Or long after, wasn't it?
It was a couple. I went down to record it December 19th.
Okay,
so Christmas. It was a couple months. Right before Christmas. But yeah, just in the months to follow, then it was just a little. It was a shit show of calls and emails and you know,
and like just coming to you personally, right? Because did you have anyone representing you at this point?
No.
You were just fielding all the emails and messages yourself.
Yeah, and I'm a very not email oriented person. So I was like, honestly, like when that happened, I didn't sleep hardly for like a week straight. Like I was just because I was like ramped up. I was so, riding the high.
Riding the viral pony.
I was freaking out.
We'll have to do a ticker on how many times
I've
said
I've come
viral
a long way.
Yeah. Really, so now you're viral. You're,
I don't know.
Just loves it. Folks at home, drinking game. Every time I say viral, have a drink. You're viral. You're all of a sudden, which is in the modern day, you become internet famous, I guess, right? Or a version of that. And you're on a lot of people's radar and you're getting a lot of messages. What are the messages like people wanting?
Yeah, it's mostly people, just, you know, industry folks that are interested to just, you know who you are. If you've been, you know, there's not much info. There wasn't much information about me out there. So it's just mostly like, you know, they want to know what my plans are, how that we might be able to work together, like, you know, just kind of like that. But
the music,
funnily,
vultures,
my yeah,
and
all those music people, yeah,
and all the guys from high school that didn't pay attention to you.
So real. So
you used to mix me rum and cokes at was that place?
Bobby's.
Now you're famous. Wow. Your Instagram message.
I think famous is a very big stress. but oh gosh, what was I? Oh yeah. One thing that the first team member that I built out was my booking agent, Jacob, who I actually met when I went down to Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Already. So that was after the video like stuff happened. That's when we decided to start working together officially. So that was awesome, and awesome to know him before, you know, beforehand.
You had
a relationship. So yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So then the next few weeks go by and it's just a barrage of people reaching out. And then what's like the next kind of big thing that happens, or what's something that kind of keeps the momentum going for all this?
Yeah. Definitely just being in talks with Zach about going down to record in Oklahoma. But so then that was the next, you know, the next boost after that was,
And is that his people that reach out to you and say, we want to do this, or how does that?
And the Belting Bronco is entirely Zach's baby. So
like
it was
his
him.
Texting
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
That's cool.
He's great, you know, great person. Great, wow. Great guy. He's just everybody's just a normal person, you know,
yeah,
like
it's true.
Yeah.
Everybody,
so,
honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But we all,
but it is definitely a shocking thing when, I don't know if I'll ever get used to seeing, like, it's, yeah, very, it's weird to be Joe Blow and then see Zach Bryan's contact pop up on your phone,
yeah.
but no, it's,
Does he call you out of the blue just see what's up sometimes? Or is it text messages? Like, what's the
deal? and called me the other day, but, you know, just not
so humble.
Too,
yeah.
You're friends though now, like, he'll do that.
But, no, I'm really, very thankful, and you know, can't believe it. It sounds like I'm every time talking about the whole story. Sounds like I'm bullshit. I feel like it's not that it didn't happen, and it's all real. It'll never. I don't know if it'll ever. It's just all unbelievable to me.
But
so.
we get excited like talking about Zach and stuff. But I mean, this is credit to like your ability and your talent.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like no, it's amazing. Like you don't get there by fluke, right? Like it's super cool that you got to do that. So now I guess 2 months go by and then you're
down there.
You're
like,
down there.
But when you see him call, are you just like, oh, what a, that cool, that cool. Thanks calling me, that cool.
No, he's a, I don't know. I think, I guess like going down there, I think it had been in my mind, like, you know, it had kind of been a conversation for 2 months leading up to that. So of course, you know, I was nervous and it's kind of like, how do you wrap your mind around that? But it was by the time that I actually met Zach, it was like, there he is.
Yeah. Did you take him to the airport in the Bronco?
No, they're people that came and they
came
picked us up.
Because you you went down on this trip with your brother. Your brother
take
went.
My brother. Yeah. Yeah. One of my brothers. It was so fun. He's my best, best guy. So it was great to have him down there. And
oh yeah.
He was, yeah.
And so what was the whole deal down there? Like kind of how long were you down there for? And
it was a turn and burn. Like
was
we,
it?
Yeah, it was, we were down there for less than,
hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A day and a half.
Flew in,
OKC?
Went to sleep, and then we went Houston and then to Tulsa, actually.
Tulsa,
so,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And spent the day and then flew out early the
next morning.
So.
Did they buy your flights or did you buy them?
They did.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's awfully nice one too.
Very nice.
Does he have lots
very
of
kind.
People? Like when I very think kind. Of like entourage and stuff, like, does he have a big crew like behind putting all that stuff together? Like, was it pretty?
Yeah. There was quite a few of his, you know, the photographer and the, and, you know, all his band guys and lots of you know, his good friends. It's really cool. It's really cool. They're all like, he grew up with a lot of those guys that are in the band and they work with. So it was really special to get to see them, you know, they're just a bunch of Oklahoma flatland kids. Like, it's great. Yeah.
Which you can probably relate to being from Bow Island.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, it was right at home there. Yeah. It was great. Dang.
So the thing I think is really neat. And I was curious about, like, if they bought your flights and they brought you down there, like, that's good content for him, but it's a huge boost for your career.
Yes.
Like, you would have paid to go do that. And there's probably a million artists that'd be like, hey, can I be on your show, Zach? But he picked you and he brings you down. He pays your way. Like, he sees something, sees some talent there that he wants to, like you said, champion what you're doing.
Yeah. I'm very, I'm so it's just, I'm in disbelief, about it, but yeah.
And then, so once you do that, then what's the next thing after you do this with Zach?
Oh man. What's the next it's all such a blur.
I feel like it's like this like little timeline of really cool events, which didn't start that long ago. Like, October wasn't that long ago.
Well, yeah, it's what is it? It's March now. So it's been five months.
So what happens after you come back from Oklahoma?
And how long till he releases the video?
He released it like pretty much right away. Okay. Yeah. Like, or he really, he Christmas. Released the teaser right away and then the video a few weeks, like, or a month, you know, I can't really
sometime
remember.
Sometime in January.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, yeah, after that, then I got more into, did some traveling, you know, taking meetings and trying to figure out.
Like Nashville or Toronto or like where?
Like New York and LA, I got to see those cities for the first time, which crazy. For me, like, oh my gosh, coming from, I'm sure that it's relatable for you guys. Like, I've really in the last few weeks, I've just been like, holy shit. Like, I am definitely not from New York. Like with all these, like, I've just been like, oh man, like, you don't notice almost like how much of a bumpkin you are until you're sitting, like, there's like a palm tree, like, yeah, it's hilarious. Like, I would say, like, I'm not very redneck, you know, coming from compared to like lots of the people I grew up with and everything. And then when I go there, I'm like, oh wow, yeah, like we definitely.
They're just people too, though.
Oh yeah.
I've been to New York and LA and like wore my cowboy stuff in both places, and we have PBR events in both towns, and I mean,
it was wonderful. Yeah,
cowboys are
yeah.
people too.
But it's amazing that on, you know, just a few months ago, you're having breakfast beers in Bow Island,
and then
a few months later, you're in New York and
having meetings.
Like, that's a huge change. It's not like you've done something like go to school for 4 years and you're going to be a doctor in a big city somewhere. It's like, this just happens really quick, rapid, and you're just like, you're in it now, right?
So it's cool. Definitely, that's how,
like,
how
do you
music
prepare for it?
You don't.
You just can't. Go and do it. Right?
Yeah, you really can't. Like, it's just
you're getting corny and you friggin' drive to Kentucky.
When
you flew to New York and LA though, right?
You live on a prayer. It's living on a prayer. I've been living on a prayer for the last year and a half since I got into music. Oh, it's really been it's just you just have to ride it out, really. It's a strap in and letterbuck.
So did you see a big influx once the video came out? Did that add to it all too, or?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely
did. So when does the tour come in too? Like this spring tour, you can tell us what the story is, but like,
yeah,
that has to be in the same timeline.
Yeah, it was about the same timeline. I started working with Jacob and around sometime in October, and they also, my agents also work with Team Charlie. So
there's the
overlap there, but ultimately it's up to the artist when it comes down to it, but that was my it's all been, you know, thanks to my team, and I'm so lucky to have the people that I do working hard for me out there.
Would they have and so Charlie's going on a Canadian tour, Charlie Crockett, and he just released $10 Cowboy, which is a really cool song.
Banger.
And so they have pitched you to him and said, hey, we think this is who should open for you.
Yeah.
And he's seen the video with Zach too, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. They would have.
And he's like, I got to hitch my wagon to her because she's,
I don't know.
She's viral.
I don't know. I'm like, oh man, I love Charlie Crockett. I love that guy. So
did you see his show at Stampede last year?
I did.
Yeah, we were there too.
I didn't see the full, caught the last three songs. I was like, truck. And I had another show or something. Stampede week is always just a shit show, but got there and I had seen him also when I was down in Kentucky. So it was great. We were standing in the rain and
So cool though.
So you're awesome. So they say, hey, so same thing. It's probably another one of those moments. Did you just get a phone call and they're like, hey, you're going to open up for Charlie.
It was really sweet how they did it. I was getting all these suspicious text messages from Jacob. He was like, are you free? Like, or available these days, blah, blah, blah. You wouldn't tell me, but he's like, okay, we're going to call you tomorrow. I was like, okay, like talk to you tomorrow, whatever.
So you have no idea?
And then I had no idea. Like, I would never have expected it. And they like set up the call and they were like, okay, like we want you to open, we're going to send you something. We want you to open your email. And so they like got to see my reaction. It was so nice.
So there's a video of you. They could see a video of you.
they got to see, they were like we were on a Zoom. So they sent me the email on the Zoom and I got to open it up. But
what was your reaction? How many swear words did you use?
All of the ones I could think of. Yeah. No, I was pretty speechless.
You're going to get on the tour. Is it May?
Yeah. May 20th. We start in Vancouver and then the last show is in Montreal, May 30th. So
like last night.
Oh, geez, like 10 days.
Yeah.
It'll
be a burn. Yeah.
Last night you're there watching Corb. As
and
in 49,
and 49, 49 Winchester, yeah, 49.
From the crowd.
Yeah.
And then in May, you're going to be on that stage.
At the Grey Eagle.
That's pretty
crazy.
Wild.
Very wild. Yeah. Very wild.
Watch out, Nicole Perkins.
Yeah. She'll be waving. When she waves at you in May, you can be like.
I'll be like, I've never seen you in my life. I'm kidding.
I'm viral.
I'm kidding, Nicole. I love you, Nicole.
I know. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. Sorry, Nicole.
So how long on that tour? It'd be a month, 2 months?
Ten days.
10 days. Yeah.
May 20th to 30th.
So it's a whirlwind. You're just going to play and play and play.
Seven shows in 10 days in six provinces.
Wow.
Yeah. Something like that.
Or five probably.
Yeah.
Any Saskatchewan stops or no?
Unfortunately, no. We're getting some grief from the Saskatchewan
people.
From
the Saskies.
Yeah.
Sorry, Saskatchewan. We'll catch you next
time. Guys.
They don't like the $10 cowboy or what?
Jeez. No, they want the $10 cowboy to come to Saskatchewan, but
maybe we should put on a concert.
We could do it.
The Six Finger Fritzes. I'd love to.
We know some people.
Let's go to Bigger.
You guys would have to have an off day or a travel day, but like in that, well, there's like 3 days off in 10 days, so you're gonna have to have some.
It's
travel.
Quite a It's no. Yeah, the drives are definitely no joke. So
you got your own bus?
No.
Are you traveling?
We're a van operation at this point. So, Corny is gonna get to sit this one out.
Yeah,
he's not gonna.
So will you have full band on that tour?
Full band.
So
band.
Do you hire your band?
Who's
like
in
you
the band?
Your band?
Yeah, I have, it's going to be Tyler Allen, Keith Roger and Pete Cormier are the guys' names that coming out
Three
with me. Yeah. Yeah.
And so where do you know them from? How do they become your band?
I actually met Tyler. He's at a band called runs a band called the Red Hot Hayseeds, and they had a Stampede show, and they invited me to be a guest on the show. So the first time I met them, pretty much we shook hands and got on stage more or less. But then since then, you know, we're always that Stampede week. We sort of all became fast friends. We were always at the same events and gigs and everything. So, and you know, they've been such good friends to me since July.
And as a musician too, for them, they got to be excited to go out on this tour. Like, hey, like.
Probably a big break for them too, right?
We're all very honored and excited, and
I was just gonna circle back a little bit.
Go ahead.
Like, you know, who was like your musical inspiration? Like, who did you love to listen to? Oh. And like, even now, like when you're just cruising around playing music, like what kind of stuff have you listened to? And has that evolved over time? Like,
definitely,
I listened to way different people than I listened to 10 years ago.
Yeah, my answer probably will change every day, but I grew up listening to a lot of classic country music and, you know, a lot of Elvis and Creedence Clearwater Revival and people like that. And
when you say classic, you mean like, we're not talking like 1990s.
We're talking like, well, both like but more like classic, like Patsy Cline.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Yeah.
We're going further back.
Johnny Cash. And,
yeah.
And then, you know, I'm really into outlaw country classic guys,
like
Waylon Jennings and Merle and the honky-tonk music.
Steel guitars.
But, yeah, modern-wise, like, I love Turnpike and Coulter and Sturgill. And, yeah, I listen to a lot of those guys, Vince Neil Emerson. And, I love music. Emmylou Harris is my favorite gal.
Is there like an artist outside of like country or outlaw country that would be like super random that you're like, oh, I just love.
Oh.
Like I love, for some reason, I love Elton John.
Yeah, oh, I love Elton. Right? I saw Elton John. I love
maybe
Elton
that's,
John.
Maybe that's like not fair to say that one, but like, is there like someone just off the beaten path? Like, I always love this artist. And
absolutely. Oh, I gotta think.
You can say a few. Go ahead.
Yeah. Man, I love Miley Cyrus.
That's what I was
looking for.
I think
she's such a queen. Yeah. I think she's just like, I just think she's such a badass.
Are you a Swiftie or are you anti-Swift?
No, I'm not. Hey, I'm an anti-Swift. Right. I'm not an anti-Swift. I respect, you know, full respect to T-Swift, but I'm just not a fan of her music, but I fully respect her career, and you know, I think it's very powerful, obviously, like what she's created. Yeah. But I just never have listened to her music.
Not even like way back in the day, like
no, like I mean, then. You know, I'll get down to the Romeo and Juliet song.
Yeah, but back in the day, right?
Like, yeah, back in the day. Yeah, like there's like the classics. Country. I like her back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. Her country
and like, of course, I have some good memories, like high school memories with whatever Taylor Swift song was popular at the time.
When I was in 2005, I think it was, or 2004, I was in high school and I worked at the radio station in Statler, local radio station.
Nice.
Dustin went to broadcasting
school. Yeah. Nice. But before I went to broadcasting, I worked at the radio station and I was doing the morning show in Statler before I would go to school in the mornings. And Taylor Swift just released Tim McGraw.
Oh, I love that first song, actually.
It, we used to have
song.
A computer screen that would say the name of the song and the artist. And I thought it was mixed up because I'm like, I thought it was Tim McGraw with a song called Taylor Swift. Like, of course, we didn't know who either one. And then it's this girl singing. And then that summer, she was coming to Alberta. I think she was like the first opening act for Brad Paisley maybe or something. And she was doing a radio, phoning all the radio stations in Alberta, a little interview tour.
Did you talk to her?
So I talked to her on the phone.
Oh,
she
my
was,
gosh.
She
that's
was 15
awesome.
Or 16.
Holy crap.
No idea who she was. That wow. song just came out. It was like her, then like Doc Walker, and then Brad Paisley, or like some
wow.
Canadian artist.
Shit.
Like
that's
was,
crazy.
She was like the opening act.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And I always remember that. And then she obviously blew up. But
wow. That's pretty
that
crazy.
It was cool. It was like a 2-minute interview. She was phoning like Stettler, Drumheller, Brooks,
no
all
way.
Those little cat country stations back then.
No way.
Yeah. That's
she
my
would,
Taylor Swift
wow.
story.
I remember hearing a story about her back in the day where her dad bought her a tour bus and they spec'd it out. It was like $1 million or $2 million tour bus, like
holy.
Very early on, but they knew she was going to be big time.
That's better.
Like, I don't know the whole story about like what her upbringing was, but I remember hearing that one somewhere. They're like, yeah, it's Taylor Swift. She's going to be big.
But did she buy it from a Mennonite?
Not like Corny.
Yeah.
No Corny.
Shout out Corny.
Corny will be famous one day.
So you get the gig with Charlie Crockett in the spring. You your phone's probably blown up for Stampede bookings this year. Like you probably got so much stuff on the go. But we can't even buy your music yet.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Right?
I catch a lot of. I've been catching a lot of.
Are you holding
flack
out to the man?
That.
Like,
yeah. No, I'm just. It's really important to me to, you know, I really want to. Do it right, like you only get one chance to make your first splash, and just really focused on, you know, a timeless recording, and the best thing I was getting quite a bit of pressure, you know, like to release songs like right off the bat and like strike the iron while it's hot, but I think the best thing I did was wait and have all the conversations and settle into it. But 2024, you can count on it.
It's coming out this year. So
yeah.
Stay tuned.
2024.
But the I don't understand everything in the music business. It's not a world I'm super, super familiar with. But previously there are different deals where like a record label kind of own your shit for a lot of it, right? Like we were talking about how you're looking at the independent side of things a bit more. You mentioned indie. I don't like that.
Yeah,
independent.
Yeah.
But then you own, like, we've talked to, like, Aaron Watson before, and I think he's totally independent. And I want to say, like, Korb has a deal, but he also still owns a lot of his own stuff. Like,
yeah.
I don't know the details. Maybe, like, in, like, Coulter's kind of, like, that way, too, is he not? Like, what's the deal? I don't know. Coulter's with La Honda, but I don't know what La Honda even is. I never looked it up.
It's just it's an independent record label. So they,
not the big ones.
They'll own his master recordings. And
they
Coulter
do?
Will, but Coulter will own his... song. I mean, I don't know. I actually don't know. But like, if you look at it, it'll be like at the bottom of the song, it'll say the copyright and publish. Like, it'll say which company.
Oh, really?
But you want to own your master recordings?
I would like to. Yeah.
Because otherwise,
and then,
you get, and then license it.
And then you'll get the royalties, whether you record the song and play it or someone else records it. It's always coming back to you. Is that right?
Usually, like a record deal, it'll be all recoupable. If you, you know, depending, there's so many different ways you can do it. And, but if you do a deal, it'll be all the recording costs is a recoupable expense and, you know, the marketing and whatever. It all depends. Like every deal is different and you can negotiate whatever you, you know, whatever kind of a deal that you would like. But usually it's all the recording earns back. The royalties recoup all of the whatever costs in the deal are like the recoupable cost. And then after that, all of that is paid off, then that's when like the rest of it kicks into place. So you'll have, there'll be whatever kind of split between how much of the royalty that the company makes and how much that the artist gets. So it's all like there's so many different ways.
So for you, and I know music has changed a lot now with like streaming and all that. So yeah. For you in the position you're in, what is the best way going forward in years to come for you to make money on your music? Is it as a songwriter, owning it, live performances? What is that?
The songwriter always earns money. That's a really good, you know, if you, because nobody can take, you know,
take that away from you.
But yeah, gosh, I mean, I'm new to all this too, but I think that my plan now is, I think from a business perspective, like owning my master recordings and doing a licensing deal to start. And then those songs will, you know, owning those songs will continue to earn for the long game. And lots of like Charlie, he has his own, you know, label and everything. Like lots of artists are doing it and can do it now. Yeah. And it's a great way to, you know, have leverage. And but who knows what happens in the future. But
yeah.
But right now that's my plan.
But so going that route, like the biggest upfront cost is the recording, it sounds like.
Yeah, and
marketing
is huge. But again, like everybody's strategy and everybody's business is different. You know, people put their money in different places and a different focus. But okay. Yeah.
What else we got, Dustin?
We were just gonna ask about like your processes in writing. Like, I know a lot of people, some people don't know like how easy it is or how hard it is to write a song. So what for you, like, where do you get your inspiration from? How quick did you write Purple Gas? Like things like that. Like what's that process?
And how many songs did you write on your way to Kentucky on the Heartbreak Tour of 2022?
Oh, Heartbreak Tour Kentucky. Oh man. I wrote a couple of songs down in Kentucky, but, a really good heartbreak song. sometimes it really depends. Like sometimes songs write themselves in a matter of minutes. And sometimes like Purple Gas was a struggle song for me. Like I was like done with that shit. By the time I was writing, I was like, I didn't like it. I was done with it. I couldn't tell. Like I get myself like so wrapped up in it that you can't tell. You have to take a step back and, I guess, people enjoyed it. But, I don't know. Sometimes it's just a beam. Like I'll get, you know, a phrase where I'm always writing ideas down in my phone and in my notebook. And then, I don't know. It just really depends. Lots of songs. I feel like the best songs just, it's like a beam of like, it just beams down into your brain. Like happens. I don't even know. Like sometimes I write something or like have a song and I'm like, I don't know where it came from. Like everything I write, you know, comes from a very, personal and true place most of the time. But, lots of it, it's like, I don't know where it comes from.
Cause I would say like some artists write based on like what maybe is popular or like some topics that are popular, but you write everything. It's like, this is my experiences or this is what I'm feeling. Or
I just write, writing is like, it's an outlet for me. And like, it's always been how I've processed and things. So I'm never focused on really like the out, you know, it starts very like internally. Internal. So,
is there a song about rum and cokes and small town bars in Bull Island?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Cool. I keep thinking about your name. How much of a benefit has it been to have a unique name in this business where people know who you are? It's like Nolene. It's a very like your YouTube though is just your first name. I don't know anybody else with the name. That's marketing in itself that nobody else has your name.
I'm very thankful. Thanks, mom and dad. Shout out. Yeah.
So you haven't changed your name? That's your
no. It's birth that's name? My birth name. Yeah. Yeah.
Really? What's your middle name?
Elizabeth. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a perfect name for like a,
thank you.
A singer. Like,
thank you.
Yeah. I think it's really neat, but like, is there any story to your name?
My parents, they went and did like an egg exchange type thing, right? Like shortly after they got married in New Zealand. And one of their neighbors while they were down there was a old lady named Nolene. And they loved the lady and they loved the name and they named me the name. Apparently if I was a boy, Angus was on the table for me. So
New Zealand name.
Nolene. Yeah. Nolene. Could have been an Angus, though. So.
I keep thinking about Jolene. Yeah. Right? How much does that come up?
Probably every day. All of my life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, it's good. Sing it. Yeah.
Do you want to sing one right now?
Has there ever been a live plug-in song
not
on
that
the
I
show?
I remember right now.
I feel like we're on a talk show where it's like you sit up on the couches and then Jimmy Fallon the throws it to like the live act.
Yeah. We were just talking a second ago about how you got to come up with a full set and you're going to have to rehearse with the band, like get things ready to go. Yeah. Cause that's like hardly been a thing that you've done a ton of to this point, honestly, so far. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. We've been, most of the, you know, I've done quite a few band shows in the last year, but it's mostly been, you know, it's off the cuff. It's different guys every time, you know, maybe we get one or two rehearsals in, but it's been pretty, not dialed, you know, like it's like, oh, that was an all right set considering that we you know didn't practice but like
but honestly
but yeah, so it's I'm really excited to have a dialed in set, and you know that's been a goal for a long time. It's just
hasn't happened yet.
It's
a little been like a year and a half, so pretty early.
Yeah.
But we were just talking too, like you're probably gonna have to introduce yourself a little bit and tell people who you are and like a little bit of a story on hey, this is who I am. Grew up in Bow Island, Alberta. And you know, I don't know what you want to leave in or out. Like, I don't know what it's going to be, but I think for the shows I've been
to, you're going to know when we go to the concert in May.
Yeah. It's true.
I'm so glad that you guys are coming. We'll have to...
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'll have a glitter ticket. Can I make a sign with glitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
We love you. Nolene.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that.
Perfect. Now we actually have to make a sign because we said it.
We will.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Okay. Purple Gas.
Okay. All right.
So we're going to start with that one.
All right.
Live in front of the studio audience.
Sponsored.
Two Wiener Dogs.
Thank you,
Storm.
Tim Hortons.
I've got plates for purple gas, about the only break I catch. But I am not the kind of man to blame the dealer on a losing hand. Have a lone star in my eye, the darker the sky, the brighter it shines. Pump jack checks and baler twine, a ton of grit, or maybe it's spite. And if I weren't a flatland boy, I'd say I have a hill that I will die upon if the climb don't get me killed. If there were such heights around here for a guy to lay his pride, maybe I'd rest before I died if I weren't a flatland boy. I hammered down, hair straight back. World blurs past, tell me how's it that my horizon line static. I guess at least it's a sure bet. We start to not throw the first fist, but if you take a hit, finish that son of a bitch. In a life having the upper hand's a myth, your only fighting chance is too stubborn to quit. And if I weren't a flatland boy, I'd say I have a hill that I will die upon if the climb don't get me killed. around here for a guy to lay his pride. Maybe I'd rest before I died if I weren't a flatland boy. Retired rail ties, port nine wire, neighbor kid on the fence and pliers, Fargo that turns over fine at 40 below if you cuss it right. A sly thumb or eyes sometimes, keep a bottle hid with the biomycin. You can dull the edge, you can look ahead but can't get there. It goes on forever. Oh, it just goes on forever. You keep your head down, it goes on forever. But I've got plates for purple gas. I've got plates for purple gas.
Yes.
Thank you, yeah.
That was awesome. That was so good.
Thank you. First singing of the day. Oh my gosh, I probably should have warmed that one.
That was so good.
Oh my gosh.
You know what? It's amazing when you like researching and like listening and then when you sit here and you hear the song, it's so theater of the mind that every lyric you say, like, it tells such a cool story.
Oh, thank you.
And if you like grew up in rural, small town, anywhere, there were so many cool lines in that song that just like,
you can
just see it. It's super cool. Well done.
Much appreciated. Thank
you. It was a well-written song. Not that I know anything about it.
I hope it don't wear you out too much for the show tonight. I know you got a show. We don't want to.
Oh no, I'm rock and roll lifestyle. Oh, good. This is great. Yeah.
Living on the edge.
Yeah.
Drove
to
Kentucky by herself.
That's true. I see she's got a Zippo sticker on her thing. So. I know we asked Coulter about hacking darts at the Swift Current High School.
Oh, so. Yeah. I listened to that episode. Yeah. That's a great episode. Yeah.
Oh, a lot of fun. You know, the last person to play their guitar in this living room was Luke Kaufman.
Who's that?
Is he on the show?
The same as my last name?
It's
Kaufman. Kaufman.
Not Hoffman, okay. But Kaufman. Yeah, so it's kind of funny. But he was sitting over here. We used to have a recliner up here. But when the storm came, she got rid of it. Year? Yeah, you were probably here that time. We had that party, and then I ripped my hand up at the stampede the next day.
We had the
rope burn the next
great rope burn of 2019.
Oh, but my God.
Luke was on, I think Luke was episode like 88 or something. Yeah. Like somewhere in the 80s, it was like Cody Snyder, and then Luke was there. But Luke was playing, and we had a bandit party that night before the stampede started. Like a bunch of our buddies were all here, and we stayed up to like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Nice. Luke was playing.
You'll have to listen to Luke's stuff.
I will.
But now he's the production manager of the PBR, like the main tour. Like he's the guy
that's awesome.
Yeah. Calling the shots and running all the like live and TV show like during those PBR shows.
Wow, that's great.
But he was the last guy to play his guitar in our living room.
Gator never played the guitar in here?
I don't know if he did that at Friends Miss or not.
Okay.
He might have.
Yeah.
Him and it's only been a few. It's been Kaufman, Hoffman, and the Gator.
Kaufman,
Hoffman, the Gator. Yeah. All right. I think we should have another song.
We're gonna switch from Flatland Boy to Badland Boy. Badland Boys. I think it's a good
time. So I've been in the Badlands the last 6 years.
This one's for you, buddy. Yeah. Rain. You
tons of churches as there's bars. Not much to do but drive, drink, and pray there. And try to keep your happenings behind closed doors. Talk about leaving south towards the sweet grass hills mirage. But if a stone's throw away is a hell out of dodge, only the lucky ones make it that far. They like steaming up the windows, shooting prairie dogs, and crushing cans of Coors Light, and bitching and moaning about their daddies. It's not like he never stayed out late, right? You know there's a few more issues here than angels. Three times the churches as there's bars. Not much to do but drive, drink. Keep your happenings behind closed doors. Yeah, I'm from a place right next door to nowhere, home of the Badland Boys, where they stomp and holler, yip and yowl, drown the coyotes' doors. Cigarettes for breakfast, whiskey on the range, and fishing off the South Sask banks, and bitching and moaning about the Ottawa man and how he needs some goddamn rain.
So we know the Ottawa man is Trudeau. Or whoever isn't currently in office.
We have shot our share of gophers, so really relatable there. That was well done.
Oh, thank
Great
you.
Song.
Oh,
I love when it. Did you write that song?
That was one of the first songs I ever wrote. That was I wrote that song when I was 14.
Really?
Yeah.
That's Trudeau was still in office.
Yeah.
Still
yeah,
dipshit.
It's been a long. yeah. Let's not go down this route.
So that's
I'm
one of
stop here.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry.
No, so no. That's one of the OG songs. That's like
it's an OG OG song.
Are we talking about the first Trudeau? Could be history, depends.
Yeah.
We can double down.
We don't need to go.
Were we praying for did you say in there praying for rain too, or is that
a couple times. Got some yeah. goddamn rain.
Need some goddamn rain.
Need some goddamn rain.
That yeah. still rings true in 2024.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Hopefully we get
it ring true for
yeah. Especially in Bow Island.
Sun don't shine. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Do you have any songs
yeah.
about, like, irrigation and potatoes and...
Oh, shit.
And spit
next,
sunflower
next
seeds?
Time I'll yeah. come ready.
Where's
yeah.
your egg trag? Like,
I know. Yeah,
right?
I know. I got
some egg trag.
I do. I really do.
Tragic.
Yeah. That's a bang.
Is there any songs about spray planes or...
No, that's not a. Yet. I'll save that for Born to Be Wild. It's like Steppenwolf can take care of that.
Yeah. Oh man,
yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Great songs.
Oh, thank
well
you.
Written.
Thank you.
Yeah, those are really cool.
So much fun.
My hangover voice is gonna have to good to sing it off and before tonight's show.
Your hangover voice is better than most people's good voices.
Regular
thank
voice.
You.
It
was, voice.
Sounded really cool.
Thank
if
you.
You're not a fan, if you weren't a fan before this podcast, and just listen to those two songs, you're a fan now.
So if you're going to introduce those songs, sorry, it flipped off when you pulled out. If you're going to introduce those songs on the live show, what would it be like? How are you introducing them?
Oh man, I kind of sometimes do it different, whatever however little or how much I feel like talking. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Depends where they are in the set. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right on. Okay, and it's not your song, but I really like the Bullfighter.
Thank you.
It was really neat. It was Luke.
It's Luke Bell. That's Luke Bell. Luke Bell song.
Yeah, so. But Luke passed away.
Very sadly. Yeah, very sadly. I never met Luke, but he's definitely a legend in the alternative country and honky tonk space. And yeah, he passed away far too young, and he's just a really amazing songwriter. And you know, I've loved Luke's music for a long time, and the Bullfighter's always been a favorite, one of my favorite songs of all time. So
is that a regular in your sets?
Yeah, I play that song. I like to play that song every show, so yeah.
What else do you play in the shows? What else do people expect? As far as the cover side, you said a couple pieces.
The cover side, yeah. Lately, we do some Big River by Johnny Cash. Oh, people have been liking that one lately. And Waymore's Blues by Waylon Jennings. We like to rip a few good some classic dirty banging songs. So it's, a lot of fun. I like doing that old outlaw country stuff. But yeah, Luke Bett, we always do that Bullfighter cover and lots of country classics. Sometimes, you know, might throw in Ian Tyson or, I've done, Coulter or something,
Yeah.
That's cool. Something, right, yeah. I can't wait for
May. I'm excited to see the show now. Yeah. May 23rd at the Grey Eagle with Charlie Crockett, $10 Cowboy Tour. Mm-hmm. Get your tickets. There's still a couple, I got four for us just the other day to make sure we can come see you. But still probably a couple available, I think. Depending on when we release the show, it might be sold out. But for anybody listening, make sure to check out Nolene, your website, nolenehoffman.com. You'll find the name. We'll put the link in the show as well. But find her on socials.
Are you still TikToking?
I'm TikToking it up. Still ticking? Ticking and talking.
You were a little unsure about TikTok in September of last year, but now.
Yeah, now I have to pay my respects. Shout out TikTok. Thank you.
Thanks, TikTok.
Thank you for being the wind beneath my wings.
So we got to follow you. Keep following your stuff on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thank TikTok. You guys so
maybe
much.
Maybe someday we can say we knew her when.
Well, I'm going to have a glittery sign.
I can't wait. I'm going to hold you to that one.
Actually, yeah. We'll post something on Cowboy Shit.
That would be so awesome. The seriously.
We'll make one up for you.
I will. I would love that.
What do you want to say?
Oh, something. I don't know. We'll you guys surprised something funny and, whatever. However, surprise me.
We'll pull something out of the show that we'll put on the sign.
We'll do something.
Yeah.
What about, what about cussing in the songs? Is that is there any... pieces to that, because doing music at events, you're asking about the PBR and Lethbridge, and the Fox for the Girls, I played their song in intermission and they were pumped in the stands and cheering and having a great time. I think that's cool, and I want to support you at these events we go to. We work a lot of rodeos, and I want to be able to play your tunes, but then I'm like, she says
I can send you clean
I wasn't sure edits?
Yeah, I'll send you the radio edits.
We can do whatever we want on our show. I just to the general paying public audiences of the family events we work.
Definitely, definitely a thing. We'll just, you just figure out some other
change of word.
Yeah,
I like
Dr. Dre did it.
Yeah, that's right. Tim and Snoop, they can change it.
Yeah,
but is there I like the authenticity and just the real music, and that's what comes to mind. And that's
thank you.
Yeah, I think it fits, but it's also we live in 2024, and there's a bunch of people that are fucking offended by everything.
I know.
So, does it matter much to you on your side though, or not really?
Well, of course, I'll always be
conscious.
Be professional and conscious, mm-hmm. but most of the time, I'm a little whenever I can say bitch and I'm gonna say it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna if no one tells me specifically of course there's reading the room and reading if you're gonna be playing to only kids or something,
you're gonna watch
your mouth. But if nobody flat out if there's an event and it doesn't state in the contract or state anywhere that please don't use profanity, I will carry on,
let it ride
as per I let it ride and deal with the consequences later. But
awesome. Is there anything else we missed? What else we got on this?
Zach Bryan, the most famous person in your phone now at this point?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think quite a long time.
Who's the second most famous person in your phone?
Oh, man, that's crazy. Oh, let's think. I don't know. My goodness. I don't know.
Don't know yet?
I don't know.
It's fine.
There'll be plenty more.
Who's in my phone? I'm blanking on everybody that I know.
That's okay. But, What about, so say in 5, 10, 15 years, like maybe a couple different goalposts or something, like what do you, mm-hmm. what do you want to do? Where do you want to be? What, like what shows you're playing, what venues you're playing? Like what is it?
Yeah.
What's your dream for this? If it could all come true.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I'm really focused on the long game. Like I plan to, you know, I want to set myself up to be playing music for as long as I can. And I want to, like, you know, of course, like, would like to take it as far as, you know, far as I can, but really, you know, just don't necessarily want to hop on a rocket. Just want to do everything, you know, build a good foundation and go for it. But my dream's always been to play the Grand Ole Opry. So I don't know if we hit that, goal, I'll be like, My work here's done.
Yeah. And back to Bull Island, guys.
Yeah. But that's my big dream in the next few years would be
play the
Opry. That's always been my dream since I was a kid. So,
so funny you say that because so many people would jump on the rocket ship that is these like crazy quick rises and just want to ride. So that's,
I think like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We are adjusting the video for the final question of the pod.
Oh,
it's an important one.
Yeah.
I hope you've been thinking about it.
Do you know what it is?
Is it a cowboy?
The definition.
The definition of cowboy shit.
Right. You know, because you've actually listened. This is like maybe the first time.
Yeah. You're the first guest that actually listened to the show before being on the show.
I love the show. I love cowboy shit. I love the brand. And what you guys have done is really awesome. I love you. What you guys support. And
what Storm's done.
And what Storm's done, yeah. All of you guys. You guys, referring to all of you guys, yeah.
You're doing the video right now. Can I help you with anything? Do you want me to?
Oh.
Here, I'll just pause.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right, Dustin. It's time for the question.
The big question. What is your definition of cowboy shit?
Man. Cowboy shit to me is it's all about grit. It's, you know, it's about getting knocked on your ass in front of everybody and standing up and putting your head down and getting right back to it. But I think more importantly, it's what you do when nobody else is watching, you know, how you do one thing is how you do everything, you know, to an extent. And, it's all about cowboy shit is showing up and, being scrappy and getting it done. Yeah.
I like that answer.
You mentioned, there's two things that kind of stood out there. You mentioned, how you do anything is how you do everything to a point. That was kind of what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bit of a mindset question there, but then there was another one that I'll get to in a second, but start mm-hmm. there first.
Yeah, I think I heard saw that one recently from Allison Erskine. I can't remember. She's a horse. She's really talented lady horse trainer. And but she posted that and I was like, wow, that's I definitely have been thinking about that one
a lot.
Good line. Yeah.
The other piece you mentioned was getting knocked down, but getting back up again. And then it made me think like, I wonder if that's referring to a show where stuff didn't maybe go right, but you're like, oh shit, I'm still in the middle of the show. I got to finish up and like make sure I finish strong here. Like I'm assuming a little bit, but I'm wondering if that's maybe what you're kind of referring to, or maybe like had something go wrong on a deal or like a show or something where it didn't happen. And you're like, okay, well moving on, got to keep rolling.
Yeah. I think, you know, you have to be, I think it's about, you know, recognize that like when you're, if you're new at something or green, it's like, it's having the bigger picture in mind and, you know, being like having, you know, humility and being able to dust yourself off and just, rise again and try not to, you know, just getting back up again, like not letting, it's resilience and perseverance and resilience is, for
when
sure.
You get your heart broken, you buy a Ford Ranger, or
Ford
what is that, Ford Escape?
You go to your high school Ford Escape and you drive far, far away.
And then you kick ass after that.
Oh, man. I had one more thing, too. Oh, the paint on your guitar. That looks like somebody, I don't know if that's something that doesn't look stock to me. Did a friend of yours paint that, or did you paint that, or what's the story?
This is a hummingbird, so this is just it is stock.
It is stock.
Yeah, it's just it's an iconic design of the Gibson Hummingbird.
Oh,
so
it's
my dream guitar. Yeah.
Really? When did you buy it?
I bought it in April off Facebook Marketplace. It was such a score.
Where'd it come from? Like somewhere in Alberta?
It was a Calgary. A fellow in Calgary. He was an old a guy that worked on the railroad, and he just, you know, never was what much of a guitar player. So it was like he was barely had a scratch on it. I mean, I've put it through the ringer a little bit in the bars since then, but yeah. Yeah, I love it.
40 years, it'll look like Trigger, right? Willie Nelson guitar just all hanging by a
thread. Yeah.
Anything else, or should we wrap it up? We've kept you a long time already.
Great.
We're all going to get...
No, thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
Thanks for actually listening to the show before you did the show.
Of course. I love the show.
That's awesome. It's great. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, we look forward to the show. Once again, May 23rd with Charlie Crockett on the $10 Cowboy Tour. We'll see
y'all
there. Yeah. Grey Eagle Casino, May 23rd. I think it's a 7 o'clock show.
Glitter Signs
or something like that. Yeah, signs are welcome.
Yeah, make Glitter Signs. Yeah, PSA, everybody.
Oh, yeah, that's a good... Yeah. I had an idea.
Yeah, so bring on the... Let's make a thing out of this. Yeah. Let's glitter sign it up.
The movement, people.
Do they all have to be purple?
Oh.
Do we want to make this purple gas thing? Like, do we want to make purple
signs? Glitter sign it up.
Do we want to do that? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Okay, best... Best sign wins a prize.
Put some farm plates on it.
Yeah.
We're gonna lean all in on this.
Awesome. Cool. Hey, thanks for doing this.
No, thank you guys. Thank you. Yeah.
No matter who you know, no matter what you do, I'll become what I deserve when it's all through, and you'll be there asking yourself why. So hold on tight, 'cause I'll be working overtime. They told me that I couldn't and I shouldn't even try. Ever since I was a child, been working for a while overtime.
All right, once again, thank you to our guest, Nolan Hoffman. That was a hell of a show, Dustin. A lot of fun with the visit in the living room. I think she's destined for some big things.
Yeah, she's going to be good. I've been seeing lots on social. She's been tearing it up, and we're going to get our glittery signs made up and go cheer on at the Charlie show. And it's going to be fun. The Grey Eagle, yeah.
Should be a dandy.
Coming up in May. So, yeah, was a lot of fun. That's been one of my favorites so far. So, really cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's one of my favorites of all time, to record with her like that and have the like live music in the house. And, you know, for her to do that Belting Bronco piece with Zach Bryan, like, that was big time. And,
yeah,
you know, to go on this tour with Charlie Crockett is pretty big time already, I feel like.
I don't think we've heard the last of her. She's just finding her groove here, and we'll continue to get bigger and bigger. And we can say we had her in your living room live. Or she got too famous on us
pretty early on.
Yeah.
Pretty early on.
But lots of exciting stuff in the cowboy shit world.
Yeah.
We absolutely. Talk about the new stuff here.
Oh, man. Ted. Yeah. And Storm's going to be mad at me because I totally forgot to mention this on the top half of the show. But it's the new Yasso Range collection is out on the website. Just launched it on Monday. So brand new shit in the store. Make sure to check it out. We got, I think my favorite design is the rodeo van.
It's
really
that's cool
van. Yeah. That one was a lot of fun. It's done well already at the store level. The store is already buying lots of it. So it's actually kind of sold out right now on parts of the online stuff, but it's in a few stores. So make sure to check them out in the stores as well. But there's like a dozen new hats online. There's like four new t-shirts and a new hoodie. So there's, some pretty cool new designs. Everything was done by Storm this time. She did them all herself. And, some new patches on the hats that are kind of like the Ad Breakaway hats, which are also still on the site. What the proceeds there going to the Breakaway Ropers in Canada, and just some new cool shit, man.
And spring is here. You need to refresh your wardrobe and get ready for summer. And this is the stuff to do it. This is really cool stuff. And if you want to be cool, you got to look cool.
Speaking
and you don't
of
look
that,
cool unless you've got cowboy shit.
Speaking of that, we have a deal with Montana Silversmiths, a licensing agreement, and we have a few new things, two new pieces that just hit the airwaves. So we've got this brand new buckle that just hit the shelves with our friends from Montana Silversmiths.
We need to give one of those to the winner of the mechanical bull riding.
Yeah, we actually can do that if you'd like. We have some buckles. We can get you one for the weekend.
That's sweet. That's
yeah. I forgot about that. We should be doing that. But yeah, new buckle and a jewelry like a jewelry set too. The cowgirl jewelry set. So it's got a nice piece like a kind of a bar necklace. It says cowgirl and it's written in rope. And there's some nice earrings to match it. So a cool jewelry set too, from the cowboy shit and cowgirl shit collection with Montana Silversmith. So there's
I feel like
new
we just
stuff.
shot one of those cable TV like infomercials.
Oh, pretty much, hey.
But it was cool.
So yeah,
Cooking like a cooking show.
make sure to get your new cowboy shit at cowboyshit.ca. Use the code POD15, POD15, get 15% off your order.
Just that easy.
It's that easy, folks. And you can get your new
With
cowboy shit
15 low payments of
of $3.99.
$5.99.
Yeah, you can get your brand new cowboy shit. So
Get
check
it.
it out. Get it.
All
But
right.
yeah, thanks to Nolene for doing the show with us.
Yep. Kick ass. We'll see you at the show
See
in
you at the
May.
show. Send us your sign suggestions.
Because I got to make a glitter sign.
Yeah.
I got to hold up to my end of the bargain.
Send
And I
us your
will.
sign ideas.
We got a great May of
Pick the best
concerts. We
one.
got Cody Johnson we're going
Yeah.
to.
Yeah. And then
TJ. And
Nolene.
then we
Who
got
else? Are you going to
Nolene,
Luke? Are you going to
Charlie.
Luke Bryan this week too?
They were rigging in today. I think he's Wednesday night. I don't think I'm gonna go. I
No.
like Luke Bryan,
Not
but only if I get
that
free tickets. We'll see if there's some free ones come to the office. But
much, though.
I'm really pumped because in right after Cody Johnson, we're going to the Rolling Stones
Oh, in
in
Seattle.
Seattle in May. Yeah. So
That's the first weekend of Seattle, right?
yeah,
Or
so
first
that's
weekend
gonna
of
be
May?
yeah, first second week in May, we're going
Like the
baseball
10th.
game and Rolling Stones at I think it's, is it Lumen Field? Is that
Yeah,
the
the
where the
football
Seahawks
stadium.
play? Yeah, so
Oh, wow, that'll be a big
that's
one
gonna
then.
be badass.
Holy smirks.
Yeah,
And
they're
that's Allie's dad's birthday, right?
60th birthday present was
Oh,
Rolling
dang.
Stones, so
Dang.
it'll look more like an episode of the Crypt Keeper, but they're still alive enough to put on a show, so we'll go.
Oh dear. Do you think that they have like a what do you think? Like a puppet master thing for some of those guys so they can
They
still
gotta.
do their thing?
I don't know how these guys are still alive, but
Rock and roll,
it's
man.
gonna be rock and roll. The whiskey calls the shots for them, and
Holy.
it's also helped preserve them. So,
Holy.
yeah.
That's awesome. Anyways, thanks again for listening, everybody. Make sure to check out some old episodes if you ever want to hear some old stuff. A couple months back, maybe an episode or two from a while back or
It's
whatever it might
easy
be.
listening, folks. It's easy listening.
It's easy listening and there's good interviews. So hope you enjoyed the show with Nolene, though. Thanks for tuning in. Dustin, appreciate you as always. Sorry
Cheers.
for the Roughnecks not making the playoffs, but we'll
There's
be better
always
next
next
year.
year. Yeah,
And
always
then there'll be
next
the new
year.
arena too.
Yeah,
That'll
yeah,
be awesome too.
yeah.
All right. See you, everybody. Thanks.
Lazy yellow moon coming up tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Cross the field where the creek turns back by the old stump road. I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Ooh. You and me go fishing in the dark, lying on a back sand, counting the stars where the cool grass grows. Almost over and the summer's coming, the days are getting long.